All right, welcome to the Young Turks. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur. We got a wild show for you guys today. A fifth accuser has come out against Roy Moore, and the Republicans have flipped on Roy Moore. Mitch McConnell saying that he will not be, that he believes the women who are accusing the Republican Senate candidate in Alabama. That's an amazing story. That's a little bit later in the program, and I'll tell you why. So here's what you're not going to get anywhere else. Why did the Republicans flip on Roy Moore? If it's because you think they all of a sudden grew morals, that's a good one. Okay, I'll tell you the mechanics behind why they are choosing to do that, and then Donald Trump, of course, cozies up to dictators across the world. Another interaction with Putin, and then Duterte. And that is unbelievable what he laughed along with. All right, so that's all a little bit later in the program, but let's get started right now. Okay. Dianne Feinstein is being challenged in her California Senate run. She's 84 years old. She's been in the Senate for 25 years. She's been in politics for nearly half a century. She has not changed with the times at all. She is, of course, among her issues, not nearly aggressive enough in challenging Donald Trump. Because part of the establishment thinking is, well, the most important thing in the world is to be civil. So let's be civil to one another. She had said a little while back that, hey, you know what? Maybe Donald Trump can learn and become a good president after all. Now, she didn't say that before he took office or right after he took office. She just said it just a little while ago. I mean, he has been an absolute train wreck. Nonetheless, she thinks, well, due to cloud, maybe he could turn it around. I have a theory as to why she said that. But first, Jake Tapper is going to actually challenge her about that on State of the Union. Let's watch the beginning of that.
This week, Allison Hartson, who is a 37-year-old Bernie Sanders supporter, announced that she's going to enter the race. You're already facing a challenge from State Senate President Kevin DeLeon. Their argument is that you haven't held President Trump accountable and that you're part of the problem in Washington. How do you respond?
Well, I respond that there's a certain degree of unfairness in that.
Wow. Okay. So, first of all, I love that already the progressive candidate is getting this establishment Democrat to perhaps try to answer some questions and hold her accountable. So, complaining that your opponents are not being fair is not very helpful or productive. So, why are they not being fair? So, have you gone after Donald Trump? No. First of all, you have agreed with him a third of the time, which is actually among the higher totals among the Democrats in the Senate. So that's a pretty bad number. You agreed with some of his cabinet picks. You still think he could be a good president? That's unbelievable that she thinks he could be a good president. Okay. So, what might be a reason that she's not challenging Trump? What would I do if I was in her situation? Well, I would say, well, I mean, we got to talk about this guy's corruption. He talked about how he was going to, you know, go after the hedge funds and their tax loopholes. Well, we just had the tax cut plan, for example, and it turns out, no, Trump was lying. He's not going to go after the loophole that private equity and hedge fund guys use at all. Oh, right. One of those guys is Dianne Feinstein's husband. But many of them are Dianne Feinstein donors. So you don't talk about Donald Trump's corruption if you're worried that talking about his donors will lead to talking about your donors. That's what's going on here. So, but that's okay. Look, Tapper, let her continue, and she's going to get to explain to you guys what the principal problem with Donald Trump is. Because apparently progressives are being unfair. So she is going to stand up for herself and say, Trump is really bad. Why is he really bad? Let's find out.
What I said was in a Commonwealth speech, and is parts of it were excised from the speech. But what I said, I hope in these months he can learn and end up being a good president. I don't think, and that was catastrophic for some people in my state. Everybody sees what the flaws in this president are. There's no question about it. And that's why this trip right now going on, I think, is worthy so much attention. Can he actually stay on script? I watched his remarks in Japan with respect to the military that were receiving him, and I thought he did a good job. He stayed on script.
The biggest problem Donald Trump has is that he doesn't stay on script. That's his biggest problem. That's unbelievable. I could list you dozens of problems that Donald Trump has. I mean, the absolute destruction of the Environmental Protection Agency, the destruction of the Department of Education, and then taking that money and giving it to extra spending in defense contractors. To be fair, her husband got a huge defense contract after Dianne Feinstein voted for the Iraq War. There's a reason why Dianne Feinstein doesn't want to bring up things that are problems for Donald Trump. How about the tax cuts? My God, 80% of the tax cuts that Trump proposed is going to go to the top 1%. Oh, right, that's where Dianne Feinstein is, in the top 1%. That's where almost all of her donors are, in the top 1%. Do you know that Dianne Feinstein voted for the Bush tax cuts? There's some chance she'll vote for the Trump tax cuts. I'm not kidding. The only reason she wouldn't do it is because you were putting pressure on her, and we're putting pressure on her. But when there was no pressure, and there was, and the internet had not grown to the size that it is now, and all she could just go on TV and pretend to be progressive, she voted for the Bush tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And guess what? Her own family got a giant tax cut. So given her own choices, we know which direction she'd go. That's why Alison Hartson and the Just Democrats putting a spotlight on Dianne Feinstein is so important. If you let her be, she'll vote for more war, as she has definitively done. It is not a question. She'll vote for more warrantless wiretapping. Why is she not upset about the drone strikes where Trump is now killing four times as many civilians as the Obama administration did? Because she generally likes drone strikes. Why is she not complaining about the $70 billion they added in wasteful spending to the Defense Department? Because she agrees with extra spending for the Defense Department, part of which goes to her family, and it goes on and on. So look, if you want an actual, isn't it insane that we have one of the most conservative Democrats in the country representing California, one of the most liberal states? If you want an actual progressive who's gonna run against her, go to justdemocrats.com/Alison. Alison Hartson's running. And find out more about her, do whatever you gotta do, volunteer, and contribute in any way you can, in my opinion, because I don't know why California is one of the most conservative Democratic senators in the whole country, one of the most conservative Democratic politicians in the whole country. It's not an exaggeration. Bush tax cuts, Bush's Iraq war. She doesn't believe in getting money out of politics. She has never fought for it, never. Why? Because she's bathed in money. She brags about how all the money that she has, and why progressives will never win against her, against Medicare for all, against college for all. She's for the death penalty. There's a chance that she might be the most single conservative senator in all the Senate. Joe Manchin's really conservative. He didn't vote for the Bush tax cuts or the Iraq war. I mean, he wasn't in the Senate. I know that. I guess he would have voted for, but I'm not positive he would have voted for the tax cuts. We don't even know if Dianne Feinstein is gonna vote against Trump's monstrous tax cuts. Every time there was tax cuts for her class, the elite, the top 1%, she has voted yes. She's gotta go, she's gotta go. California, you must have a progressive senator. Look into Alison Hartson. If you support her, great. If you don't, find another candidate. It can't be Dianne Feinstein. It is way, way past time for change. JustDemocrats.com/Alison, because that's exactly what the Just Democrats stand for. Strong progressives who are gonna bring you real change. Okay, now, let me go to the heart of the problem here in America with the Democratic Party, okay? Now, we know what's wrong with the Republican Party. They take donor money and they give them tax cuts. That's the whole point of the Republican Party. But luckily, recently, they have made it incredibly obvious. Gary Cohn, the top economic advisor for Donald Trump, said in regards to the tax cuts, "The most excited group out there are big CEOs about our tax plan." Yeah, of course, that's because that's who you serve. They're going to get giant, enormous tax cuts for their companies, which then they're gonna use to buy back stocks and to increase the bonuses that they get through their own stock options. Okay, but thank you for admitting it, we appreciate it. Representative Chris Collins, Republican of New York, has said, "My donors are basically saying, get it done or don't ever call me again." Again, thank you very much for clearly outlining the legalized bribery and out of control corruption that we have here in America, and certainly within the Republican Party. Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina has said, "The financial contributions will stop." if we don't get the tax cuts. In other words, we were always lying when we said we care about the deficit. This is going to add $1.5 trillion to the debt. We were lying. We don't care about the debt. Oh, the middle class? No, we're going to raise taxes on at least a third of the middle class. Not only has independent groups said that, the Republicans have acknowledged it. So no, we're increasing taxes on the rest of you to get our donors tax cuts. Unreal, right? And then finally, Stephen Law, who is working for the donors themselves, says donors would be mortified if we didn't live up to what we've committed to on tax reform. He's actually the head of the Senate Leadership Fund, which helps Mitch McConnell. But I say he works for the donors because he funnels the donor money to the Republican senators. So he is admitting they will be mortified if they don't get their tax cuts, which is why they bribed the senators and the politicians in the first place. Now, in America, we have an insane system where bribery is legal. You call it campaign contributions and independent expenditures. Now, don't worry, guys. The Democrats, of course, are the opposing party, and they are going to stand up to them. So here's Senator Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, saying they're paymasters, if you will, the hard right, the Koch brothers. All they want to do is cut taxes. They don't care about the deficit. They don't care about the country. They don't care about the middle class. They just want their taxes reduced, and they run the Republican Party. Now, that is exactly right. I'm super glad he said that. So now we're going to go to a Democratic donor. Interesting. Stephen Klubeck, he is a CEO, and he is in that millionaire, billionaire class. But don't say that, because that'll make him very upset. Now, we know what the Republican Party is about, but let's find out what the Democratic Party is about. So here is one of their top donors explaining.
Is it the right message that the Democrats are going with?
It's so effing wrong.
Whoa.
I've talked to Schumer. I've talked to Wyden. I've talked to Pelosi.
And said what?
And I said, if you use the term billion again, I'm done.
Why?
Because it's aspirational. I didn't start with anything. Just penalize everyone that's done well. We all want to do well. And we should be the party of doing well. We should be a party of business and leadership. And it is very, very disturbing when I hear the millionaire or billionaire word. And I've told them to stop it, knock it off.
Well, now we see where the donor class stands in the Democratic Party. Don't you even say the words millionaire or billionaire. Do you understand your marching orders, Chuck Schumer, that gave that fiery quote? No, don't do that. Nancy Pelosi and the others, know your role, shut your mouth. Because the millionaire and billionaire class now are so arrogant that they'll go on TV and go, what did I buy these guys for? I bought them so they shut their mouth when we talk about tax cuts. You can fight on other issues. Go ahead and distract people with other social issues, cultural issues. But when it comes to tax cuts, we will have our cuts. He says, don't penalize us. Who the hell's talking about penalizing you? We're talking about whether you should get another round of trillions of dollars in tax cuts and make the middle class pay for it. So if you thought it was just the Republican Party, you got another thought coming to you. If you set up a system where they are allowed to take unlimited money from rich people and from corporations, both sides will take unlimited money from rich people and corporations. Now, luckily, not the whole Democratic Party is like that. I would say 99.9% of the Republican Party is at the national level is completely corrupt. They will do whatever their donors tell them. And right now, they're bragging about it. The Democrats are closer to 80%. It's a rough estimation. If you want to say it's a little higher, I'm not going to argue with you. The problem is the system. You cannot allow for money in politics. If you allow private financing, they will serve people like Stephen Klubeck, who privately financed their elections. You have to have public financing so they serve the public interest. This is so obvious, but the reason the Democrats don't fight on it is because they have the same donors. So let's find out a little bit about Klubeck. He gave well over $2 million to the Democratic Party last year alone, including $1 million donation to Hillary Clinton's Super PAC Priorities USA. Here's a little screen grab of the $1 million that he gave to Priorities USA Action. That was their super PAC that, among other things, attacked Bernie Sanders for daring to talk about the millionaire and billionaire class. The Klubecks of the world came along and said, no, I'm going to give you $1 million so you penalize him. Make him stop talking about the corruption, okay? We're in charge here. He goes on TV, and by the way, Stephanie Ruhle has done a great job on other issues. This was not among them. Ooh, oh please, get this whole, the F-bomb, and he's gonna curse again, as if he's like a regular Joe. I'm just a regular Joe, gives millions of dollars in legalized bribes to Democrats, and then tell them to do whatever I tell them to do, otherwise I'll stop giving them the bribes. Spare me the goddamn act, okay? So here's more from Klubeck.
Then are you worried that the Democratic Party is going too far to the left?
So much so, it drives me nuts. So much so, it would make me quit the party. And I've made it very clear, I'll cut your money off. And others will do the same. We've had enough.
Okay.
We need a new brand. I can tell you that if we go far left, I'm out. I'm out. We need middle ground.
So when you tell the Democratic leadership this, when you meet with Wyden and Pelosi and Schumer, what do they say to you?
Well, so far they've given me great signals that they're willing to participate and get there. We shall see. We shall see.
Okay, first of all, two words, good riddance. So the Democrats and their leadership and the Democratic establishment and elites, they have to kiss this guy's ass. So when he says, I'm out, you better do as you're told. They go, okay, no, we're not left. We're not left, we're not progressives. We promise we'll do whatever you want, Mr. Billionaire. Now, Justice Democrats say, good effing riddance. Get the fuck out. You don't want to be part of the party? Because you want to take all the money from the middle class, put it in your pocket? Get the fuck out, I don't care about your money. Justice Democrats don't take corporate money and they don't take big donor money. So we don't care. He's used to making all of them heal. He goes on national television and says, we'll cut your money off and the other donors agree with me. And the pathetic Democratic establishment heals. God damn it, isn't it about time you get real progressives, the uncorrupted? You don't take big donor money so you could tell guys like this to fuck off. You're supposed to represent your voters, not your donors. One more from this prick.
I'm just as caustic and arrogant and aggressive on the Democratic side. So, you know, Trump-esque, Trump-lite. But I'm willing to fight for Democratic principles. And I'm not going to give up. And hopefully, we'll get our shit together.
Oh yeah, I'm an aggressive, tough guy. you know, I do lots of bribing.
Okay, yeah, all right, guess who else fights? We fight, okay? And we don't think the Democratic principles you're talking about is more money for millionaires and billionaires. We don't agree. We don't agree. We don't think that the Trump tax plan where you raise taxes on the middle class and give it to the rich is a good idea. We think it's a miserable idea. We believe that a financial transaction tax is both smart in regulating Wall Street and regulating the risk taking, and also provides excellent funding for education and the American dream for the next generation. There are many things we don't agree on. We think that everyone in the country should have Medicare. Where, you know, look, you want to have your lavish extra health care? Have at it, man. That is part of capitalism. I understand that. Go nuts. Have your private jets. Have your 17 doctors. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about bare minimum basic coverage. Yes, everyone should have that so they don't die in the street. If you don't agree with that, get the hell out of the party. You're used to being the boss. You're used to being in charge. Because as you said, the Democratic leadership is giving you great signals. Well, Stephen, we're going to defeat that leadership. We're going to bring in Justice Democrats. And then nobody's going to give a shit what you think. And then you can get all aggressive all you want in your goddamn corner. And you can go vote for Republicans like Trump all you want. You want to fight, let's fight. But no way do I agree to this guy giving orders to progressives on how they should help Republicans with tax cuts. Our answer is fuck no. Did you understand that, Stephen? Okay, I think that was clear enough. Let's move on. I'm on the warpath today. All right. So Donald Trump's Health and Human Services Secretary stepped down, Tom Price, for corruption. He kept using private jets on your dime. This is something that Tom Price had complained about before he had an opportunity to do it, and he did it all day, all night. That's why he stepped down. Hypocrisy and corruption through the roof. So that's okay. Trump's going to announce a new HHS secretary. Let's find out who it is. He says, happy to announce I am nominating Alex Azar to be the next HHS secretary. He will be a star for better health care and lower drug prices. Really? Well, that sounds positive, right? I mean, Trump promised lower drug prices on the campaign trail. He said he would fight the drug makers and make sure that the government could negotiate with them. It hasn't happened yet. Maybe Azar is activist. Maybe he has held the drug companies accountable before, and that's why he's a good pick. It could be. I mean, remember, as HuffPost points out, in promising to combat high drug prices, Trump has been critical of drug companies, saying that they are, quote, getting away with murder and threatening, quote, some very major lawsuits against people and against companies that are hurting our people. So Trump is ready to go after those drug companies that are hurting our people, okay? They're getting away with murder. So Azar has obviously held those guys accountable. Let's find out what Azar did for a living. Azar, until January, was an executive at drug maker Eli Lilly. What? Wait, I thought he was going to hold them accountable. He worked as a president at Eli Lilly. That doesn't sound like he's holding them accountable. Okay, well, let's find out specifically what he did, because maybe he was the internal cop. And you said, okay, lower the drug prices. No, it turns out he led Lilly public affairs and lobbying efforts. Oh, great, he was a lobbyist for the drug makers. What was that about the swamp? You're a Trump supporter and you thought he was going to drain the swamp? He's laughing at you. Lower the drug prices. I'm going to put in the guy who lobbied to make them higher, you idiots. Trump is as corrupt as it gets, and he puts guys like Azar in for that, despite the fact that they worked for drug makers and lobbied for them, but because of that. So in 2009, under Azar, the company paid $1.415 billion to settle criminal charges regarding his promotion of Zyprexa for off-label uses. Oh, good. And borderline criminal activity. Nobody ever goes to jail if they're rich anymore. You go to jail if you stole 10 bucks from somebody, but they steal $1.4 billion. They just pay a fine. Effective January 1st, 2012, Azar became president of Lilly USA LLC, the largest division of Eli Lilly and Company, and was responsible for the company's entire operations in the United States. Prices for drugs rose substantially when Azar led the business. The joke is on you. Trump is not going to put people that are going to lower drug prices. He has done absolutely nothing about it. Hey, they just did a whole healthcare proposal. In the proposal could have been a provision that said the United States government can now negotiate drug prices with the drug companies for Medicare. Was that in the proposal? Nope, not in the proposal. Now all of a sudden the guy who's going to lead HHS is a guy who was a lobbyist and president for the guys who increased drug prices. So what has Azar said? Well, Azar said in the past that insurers and pharmaceutical companies should work together to reduce drug prices without government intervention. So while he's president, the drug prices skyrocket at his drug company. Then as a joke, he turns around and goes, well, if the government doesn't interfere, maybe we'll voluntarily lower them. Well, you had all the opportunity in the world to voluntarily lower them when you were the president of the company. And you didn't lower them, you increased them. So you know what that makes you? A liar. And the idea that the companies, out of the goodness of their heart, will ignore the law about maximizing profit, well, instead, just because they're such good people, lower drug prices. If you believe that, no wonder you voted for Trump, because you are a blithering idiot. Okay, if he becomes HHS Secretary, Azar will take over the administration of the Affordable Care Act, which he has criticized as fundamentally broken, and like most Republicans, wants to repeal. Great, as the Health and Human Services Secretary, he will get to destroy Health and Human Services in America. This is a familiar pattern for Trump's appointments. Now, unfortunately, the law gives the HHS secretary enormous discretion over how to administer the program. This includes, for example, rewriting the rules over exactly what qualifies as essential benefits that all insurers must cover. and approving requests by states to waive some of the law's regulations on how Medicaid works. In other words, deregulate the industry. Let's make more money. And the thing about having to cover pre-existing conditions, it's a good thing I've got a lot of latitude here. I'm not sure you have to follow that anymore. And this is how we destroy the chances of people getting covered. Universal coverage, not even remotely possible. They're going to shred whatever is left of the Affordable Care Act. Azar will work for the George W. Bush administration. Went and made bank at Eli Lilly, made a ton of money lobbying for them and then running a huge portion of their business. Then he goes back into government and he will not lower drug prices. I absolutely, positively guarantee it. He will increase drug prices. He will help his former employees who gave him millions of dollars to increase drug prices more. And here's another guarantee. Once he leaves the Trump administration, guess where Azar is going to go back to? To another drug maker and make millions of dollars more and laugh all the way to the bank thinking, idiot Trump voters, you let us rob you blind. Just like Trump University, just like everything Trump has ever run, they warned you and you didn't listen. Thank you very much for letting us rob you. That's the plan and that's what they're doing right now, right in front of your eyes. Okay, last story for you guys in this segment. Okay. Roy Moore is running for Senate in Alabama. He's been accused now from five different women of, way beyond sexual harassment, sexual assault in some of the cases. Two of the women were teenagers, 16 and 18. He says, yes, he did know them. He did date them when he was in his mid-30s. And he did kiss them and make out with them when one of them was 16 and he was 32. He says, yes, he just likes beautiful young girls. The new person who came out today said he started grabbing at her when she was 15 years old as a waitress and sexually assaulted her in his car when she was 16 and he was in his 30s. So Sean Hannity, of course, has been vigorously defending this alleged child molester. Remember, the one thing Moore denies is the 14-year-old that says that I groped her and I stripped her down to her underwear and I took off all my clothes and tried to get her to touch my crotch. No, I love beautiful little young girls, but that's the one young girl I don't remember. Okay, but Hannity believes him. Even the Republican leadership now says they believe the women. Okay, but Hannity sticking by his man. Here, watch.
And this goes back to what you said. Do people do it for money? Do they do it for political reasons? Is that more common than people would think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they'll do this for
they will lie to make money.
Well, and this is where you thread the needle. Because
there are women that are victims of predators.
Yes, there are. There are.
So hard.
But very few, far between.
How do you know if it's true? How do we? What's true? What's not true? How do you ascertain the truth? What happens when it's 38 years later? And it's a serious topic. Do people lie? Now, we do have 10 commandments. One of the commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness. We know human beings break with regularity the other 9 commandments. Did they break this one?
Women have never been so disappointing. Like, the idea to me that someone comes out, 38 years later, allegedly, and is suddenly remembering how terribly traumatized she was. If she was stood right next to me now, I would be saying to her, that's not good enough. You've taken this many years to remember how upset you used to be. That is not good enough. You are disappointing as a woman.
I'm going to tell you what people are going to say to you, feminists in particular. Are you blaming the victim? Are you doubting the victim? That's what people are going to say.
You know what? Yeah. And immediately when people say, oh my God, you're victim blaming, immediately you're supposed to lie down, quake in your boots, like when people throw the term racist about, you know, at me for no reason. You're supposed to lie down and go, no, of course I'm not victim blaming. Well, guess what? Actually, yes, I am at this point.
Well, good to know. These are the people that Hannity had on again and again, blaming the woman who at the time that she was sexually assaulted was 14 years old. Real class act. So, a number of advertisers are understandably aggrieved that the show they're advertising on is pro-child molesters. Seemingly. To be fair to Sean Hannity, he says he doesn't believe that particular charge. He believes that Roy Moore dated 16-year-olds when he was 32 and that's awesome. but not the 14-year-old. He doesn't believe that one. Okay, so Realtor.com and Eloquy have dropped out, and so has Keurig, the coffee machine. So then his supporters started going nuts. So there they are. Those are the people who cut advertising from Hannity's TV and radio program. People started smashing the Keurig machines, and Hannity encouraged it. He says, so funny in regards to a video that was sent. Another one, he says, love it. Okay, so what does he love? Let's have a bit of fun and show you. I'll leave it at conservatives destroying coffee machines.
Wait.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Look what I found. Piece of shit.
Okay. Look, people destroying things is always fun. I get the appeal of it. I liked it in Office Space. Although when you get a guy with like, look at what I found, coming around with a bat, I don't know that I love that one. Okay. Hannity says, deplorable friends, I am buying 500 coffee makers tomorrow to give away. Details on radio and TV. Hint, best videos. Look, my guess is attacking former advertisers is probably not going to lead to a lot of future advertisers. But that's Sean's call, and you know, and I got mixed feelings about going after folks, advertisers, because I want to give them as much leeway as possible to say terrible things, so we know what they're about. Okay, and those folks, apparently his viewers, think that maybe Moore didn't do it, or maybe as some Alabama Republicans have said. State senators and representatives and other officials in Alabama, they said, oh, what's the big deal? Mary and Joseph did it. I mean, it's okay to, you know, and literally about the 14-year-old. Ziegler, one of the guys that we quoted on Friday's show, was like, even if he did it, I don't see the problem. Okay, I thought you guys were family values. If that's your family values, I get it. But at least now we know. Let me give you a couple more tweets here. So some people are going to hashtag boycott Keurig. Aren't these the same people that boycotted Starbucks and Netflix? We all know how well that worked out, Sebastian writes. And I'm pretty sure Netflix is still in business, right? Is Netflix still doing well? Is they're doing okay? Yeah, has anybody seen a Starbucks around the corner at all? Oh, right, around every corner, right, okay. So I love right-wing boycotts. My favorite was they boycotted Disney. You probably didn't notice because no one did. Because they said, oh, Disney treats its gay employees the same way that it treats straight employees. Wow, I hate that. You should treat them worse. They're not the same as us because we're really good. We're superior. Absolutely no one participated in that boycott. Disney stock continued to soar. Their theme parks were not remotely affected. And they went on to take out even more ads in LGBT publications. So the right-wing boycotts never, ever work. And now cutting off your coffee maker to spite your face, my guess is not going to work for Sean Hannity. So smash all the coffee you want. And I guess this is like the right-wing reaction to anything. Me no like, me smash. Let's see how well that goes for Sean Hannity. Tick, 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 until he's out of money. Okay, but at least we know what they mean by family values. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Stephen Garcia wrote in, Cenk, you were so right about getting Allison in the race because California matters. Barely a few days and mainstream media is covering her. Tick tock, tick tock. That's right, justdemocrats.com/Allison. Let's show them what we got. Your mama writes in, TYT needs to interview Kevin DeLeon since they already interviewed Allison Hartson. It would be inappropriate not to do so. Hell, invite Feinstein too. Yes, Dianne Feinstein is very welcome to come on the show. Come on, we got a wedding for you, come on. I would give a fair interview. I gave a fair interview to Joe Manchin. Yeah. Some people complain that my interview with Joe Manchin was too fair. Okay.
Is he the guy who kept calling you Jinx?
Yes.
Oh, it was right. Such a good interview for that reason alone.
Check that out if you remember. TYTNetwork.com/join. Kevin DeLeon is a guy pretending to be progressive in California. There was a reason we didn't back him, because he's not a progressive. That's a long story. Okay, here on Uranus says, Jake is all dapper today. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Okay. Shaun of the Dead, that's all he said. Shaun of the Dead says, contemplate this. Wisconsin is a more progressive senator than California. You're right, except almost every state that has a Democratic senator has a more progressive senator than California. There's only like three issues she's theoretically progressive on. Everything else, she's a conservative.
You're being very unfair to her, because you're criticizing her.
Yes, very unfair.
Yeah.
With all my facts. Santos Huante writes in, there's only one super party, the donor class, and Dances With says that clip, referring to the Klubeck clip, controlling the Democratic Party, should be on the loop 24/7 till every last voter has seen it and understands the implications. Quote, I own you and your vote. That's exactly what Klubeck was saying. And they're now so brazen and think that they're untouchable that they could just go on TV and say, yeah, I bought the Democrats, so why don't they do as I told them to do? All right, let's go forward.
All right. Roy Moore, the Senate candidate in Alabama, is facing yet another allegation from a woman who claims that she had been sexually assaulted by him decades ago. Now, she said that when she was assaulted by him, she was only 16 years old and working as a waitress in Alabama at a place known as the Old Hickory House, where Roy Moore was a regular customer. Now, she identified herself in a press conference along with her lawyer, Gloria Allred. Her name is Beverly Young Nelson. And the new accuser told a news conference in New York that Mr. Moore attacked her when she was 16, and he was a prosecutor in Etowah County, Alabama. Apparently, he stayed until after closing hours, and she was waiting for her boyfriend to pick her up. She says that her boyfriend was late, and at that point, Roy Moore offered her a ride home. But instead of taking her home, she claimed that he drove to the back of the restaurant and then assaulted her. She said, I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop, but instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch. She said Mr. Moore then warned her that no one will believe you if she told anyone about the encounter in his car. And he essentially told her, look, I'm the district attorney, you're just a teenager. No one's gonna believe your story.
And I just wanna give the exact quote according to her, because it's, ooh. He said, you're just a child, I'm the district attorney. If you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you. If she's just a child, you might not have wanted to sexually assault her in the back of a parking lot. This is, by the way, a Trump voter. Her husband's a Trump voter. She says this has nothing to do with politics. She's a Republican from Alabama. She's like, but he did this. He did it. He had, quote unquote, flirted with her throughout. When she was 15 years old, working in that
restaurant,
he would pull on her hair.
Yeah.
And he would constantly say, make comments about her appearance and how pretty she was. He was in his 30s. She was 15. She said she was not interested because he was literally more than twice her age.
Yeah, what's interesting is his response to these allegations. Now, he says that he is going to go after the Washington Post because that was the publication that broke the story of all these allegations against him last week. But at the same time, he doesn't really deny these allegations. He just says, yeah, I know, I knew these women and I tried to kiss them. But I didn't do anything wrong.
So let me be clear. So there was the original four allegations in the Washington Post story. Today, Beverly Young Nelson is the fifth.
Right.
Of the first four, he says, yeah, the 16 and 18 year olds, when I was in my 30s, I dated them because I liked beautiful young girls, mm-hmm. including the 16 year old. And he made out with her, okay? And he says, but that's all. He says the only one he doesn't know is the 14-year-old who says she stripped him down to her underwear. He got naked and tried to get her to touch his crotch, and he groped her. He says, that's the one, I just don't have recollection of her. She has a recollection of you. And now even other Republicans say that they believe the woman and not Roy Moore.
Right. So one of those Republicans is actually Mitch McConnell. And during a press conference, he addressed this whole controversy. And here's what he had to say.
Roy Moore is the latest there. Are you calling for him to step down from that Senate race?
I did. I think he should step aside. Yeah.
We're just about out of time. Is the burden on Moore to prove these false versus someone to prove that these are true in this situation? Or do you believe these allegations to be true?
I believe the women, yes.
Wow.
That was a pretty strong statement. And there were other statements from other senators that I'll get to in just a minute. But Roy Moore is not buying it. He has responded to Mitch McConnell in the form of a tweet, because that's what people do these days. And he said, the person who should step aside is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He has failed conservatives and must be replaced. Hashtag drain the swamp.
I think that's what got him in trouble, right? I said wow, because in this day and age, it is surprising, borderline shocking, to have a Republican leader say that he would not support another Republican. Now, in this case, the Republican appears to be a child molester, but even so, it's still shocking. Because the Republicans have stood by their guys in almost every instance, no matter what. Desjardins in Tennessee, 3 abortions, including with his mistress.
Yeah.
They're like, he's our guy, that's family values. Abortions are no problem when Republicans do it. Mistresses are no problem when Republicans do it. Donald Trump bragging about sexual assault on tape, clear as day.
Right.
They stood by him. So why are they flipping on Roy Moore? Now look, if they flip on him and they try a writing candidate or something, that is going to be very difficult to pull off. And it looks like the Democrats have an excellent chance of winning this seat now. So why? It's not because all of a sudden the Republicans woke up one day and were like, oh yeah, moral, we forgot to be moral. Family values, right. Child molestation, bad, right? No, the reason is Virginia. Because of the elections that just happened in Virginia, and they realized Gillespie ran on the Trump thing of, oh, anti-immigrant, and the Latinos are coming, and the Muslims are coming, et cetera, and it didn't work. And he lost to a really mediocre Democratic candidate, which they had a lot of hope that he would beat. And then they got killed in the lower level elections. And so their conclusion was, maybe Trump can pull off being Trump, but the rest of us can't.
Yeah, so that's that's actually a really great point. And one thing that you have to keep in mind is that the primary races are very different from, you know, running in the general election, right? In these state seats. And in this case, you had Roy Moore go against Luther Strange, who was a more moderate candidate. And Roy Moore won because he did play this like extremist like Trump card. But that's not necessarily going to resonate with all the people of Alabama. So, you know,
and even so, look, if these allegations didn't come out, he probably would have won anyway. Even before we had suspected him of being a child molester, he had already said Muslims should not be allowed in Congress. That means you don't believe in the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
Let alone his views on gay Americans, et cetera, et cetera. So the Republicans already knew that and were like, yeah, that's great. Discriminating against Muslims, that's awesome. Discriminating against gays, we love it. No problem at all. And almost certainly would have won in Alabama. But remember, all these senators on the Republican side aren't all from Alabama. So one of the first guys to turn was the Republican senator from Colorado. He's not going to win in Colorado if he's running on a pro-child molester ticket. But no, it's okay. I'm a Christian conservative that, you know, will imprison the women if they have abortions. That's not going to play well in Colorado. So he was like, pull the chute. I saw what happened in Virginia. It turns out Trump thing was an anomaly. I got to get out of here. Now they're looking to save their own ass.
Also, I just wanted to give some credit to a gentleman on Twitter. I'm sorry your name escapes me at the moment, but I thanked you on Twitter. He made an excellent point about how the GOP launched this war against transgender rights because they were so concerned about trans individuals sexually assaulting women in bathrooms.
Mm.
I mean, projection 101. It's amazing.
It turns out that you didn't have to worry about transgender people. You just had to worry about Republican Senate candidates.
Yeah. All right. And then finally, I just wanted to give Senator Susan Collins some credit because she also called out Roy Moore. Let's go to graphic 9. She says, I have now read Mr. Moore's statement and listened to his radio interview in which he denies the charges. I did not find his denials to be convincing and believe that he should withdraw from the Senate race in Alabama.
Anna, didn't you have an update for about the mall? Is that
I do. Okay, so this broke right before I went on air, so you should read the details for yourself. But the New Yorker is reporting that a mall actually banned Roy Moore because of the fact that he continuously pestered teenage girls. He was badgering them, and so the mall banned him from going there.
Okay, you know what? Just one more time. So Roy Moore caught doing all this terrible things to young women. I mean, the 16-year-old in the car, he's trying to force her head down. She's screaming. Remember, he got kicked out of the Alabama Supreme Court because he got kicked out twice. But the first time was because of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
He said, even though America is supposed to live by a constitution, I don't care. I wanted to live by the Ten Commandments. Where in the Ten Commandments does it talk about molesting young girls and how that's okay and attacking them and trying to force yourself onto them? Okay, I don't remember that in the Ten Commandments. Then the second time he got kicked out of the Alabama Supreme Court is because he said that it was an abomination to give gay people the same rights as straight people because gay people are immoral. Gay people are immoral. But Roy Moore, who knows that he's been dating 16-year-olds when he was in his 30s,
right,
is a very moral man, and says the 14-year-old and the other 16-year-old that said that he assaulted them, no, that part's not necessarily true. The 16-year-old, he didn't even quite deny yet, the last one with the one in the car, okay?
Yeah.
So the next time when you see a guy talking about family values, unfortunately, 9 out of 10 times, it means he's a super bad guy, and we've seen this 1,000 times over and over and over again. It's usually the guys with the darkest secrets who keep moralizing to others and judging others and saying that other people are not as morally righteous as they are. And there's a reason why they do that, because they're trying to make sure that nobody finds out what they've been up to. So they just project out. They take their weakness and try to turn it into a strength. Oh, other people are bad with their morals and they do illicit sexual things. Oh, I judge you. No. When you see a guy like Roy Moore next time, you know, God knows what he's done in a car somewhere or in a bathroom and the sick and depraved things that Republicans like that have been up to while you weren't looking.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Trump talks about which he trusts more. Is it our intelligence communities or Putin? I'm pretty sure you won't be that surprised. Come right back.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Unregistered Chicano writes in, Anna Kasparian's got that Demi Moore in the 80s voice going. Feel better soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are a trooper for fighting through it.
Thank you.
Of course. No, thank you. Michael Schur, wait a minute, our own Michael Schur writes in, 50 pastors signed letter of support for Roy Moore. Family values. Okay, I wonder who those pastors have locked up in their basements. Okay, Hassan Piker says, when Roy Moore wins because all this press caused the evangelical base to redouble and come out in numbers, we'll hear about GOP tribalism. I've been saying this for a minute. So that's our own Haas, and he's right. He's potentially right about that too. I don't know. We'll see what winds up. Doug Jones, they say, is now up in the polls. And especially if they split the Republican vote by doing a write-in candidate, I can't imagine that the Republicans could win if they split the vote. But on the other hand, if Roy Moore continues and there is no write-in candidate, that race is not over.
Yeah.
That, believe me, there's a lot of Alabama Republicans who think, I mean, the girls are cute at kind of 14. And they do. They do. And
I think that evangelical activism, especially during 2016, should be a cautionary tale. People need to go out and vote.
Yeah, and I think that the evangelical voters generally don't care, have proven that they don't care about morality at all. It's just a matter of who they hate. And Roy Moore hates the same people as them. He hates Muslims, he hates gays. They're like, good enough, man. I don't give a shit what you did to a 14-year-old. So we'll find out. Michael Corno writes in, I would really like to believe that voters will shun Moore, but his supporters here are rallying around him because someone has them convinced that the liberal media is fake news. So look, more than the couple of guys who've elected officials in Alabama who've literally come out and said, even if it's true, I don't care, that it's okay. It's okay to molest 14-year-olds. Other than those guys, most of them will get themselves to believe that it's not true because the press said it.
It's fake news.
Everything that the press reports is fake news to them by definition. That's why the Republicans and Trump have been attacking the media for this long, so that when they get in trouble, people won't believe it. Okay, what's next?
All right. Donald Trump addressed whether or not he trusts the US intelligence community over Putin's word. And unsurprisingly, he was very clear that if Putin says that he didn't meddle in the election, then he's going to go ahead and believe Putin. Let me give you his exact quotes. He was quoted as saying that, hey, he said he didn't meddle. I asked him again. You can only ask so many times. Every time he sees me, he says, I didn't do that. And I believe, I really believe that when he tells me that, he means it. So again, Trump there is talking about Putin. And he's like, well, I asked him if he meddled, and he's saying no. So I'm going to go ahead and believe him.
Okay, so a couple of things here. Number one, they then asked Putin's press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, did they discuss elections and meddling when Putin and Trump talked? And he said, no, they never discussed it. So that's interesting. Either the Russians are lying for some bizarre reason when Trump is trying to cover for them, or Trump just said that Putin denied it, even though they never even talked about it. Do you think that Trump actually went and asked Putin for the third time? He didn't ask. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a small part of it. You could say, no, the Russians are lying. They're always liars. Except Trump says, no, what? Putin told me a couple of times. Why would Putin lie? So to me, that's even more. Come on, you're a Trump supporter. If you are, you think Putin's always telling the truth. And then if you just ask a guy who's ordered the execution of journalists and political opponents, hey, are you telling the truth? And he says, yes, I am. That you should believe him. Come, I hope you're not even that stupid. Are you that stupid?
No, look, I want to reiterate that there needs to be more emphasis on Trump's financial dealings with the Russians, okay? Because all the emphasis on this special counsel and this investigation has to do with possible collusion, because that's what the DNC and the Democrats are obsessed with, right? They want to prove that there's collusion, you know, to come up with excuses and not have to take ownership of the fact that they had a terrible candidate and they need to change their ways. What's more concerning to me is whether or not there are financial dealings here that lead to a gigantic conflict of interest, and whether or not that is influencing Trump's behavior in regard to Russia and Putin, right? Because it just seems so obvious to me. Homeboy won't release his tax returns. Release your tax returns. Why is he so afraid to release them?
And he attacks everyone. Except Putin.
Exactly.
When it comes to Putin, all of a sudden he's like, oh, all of a sudden he's a beta and a cuck. So say, oh, Putin said it. I believe him. I believe him. Putin is such a good guy. Why would Putin lie? I asked him two times. I can't ask him anymore. Hey, what do you owe him, money? Oh, maybe.
Oh, there's more though. There's more. Let me give you some more of his quotes. Again, this is Trump talking about Putin. He says, I mean, give me a break. They are political hacks, referring to our intelligence communities, okay? So he's talking about Jim Clapper and John Brennan. So you look at it, I mean, you have Brennan, you have Clapper, and you have Comey. Comey is proven now to be a liar, and he is proven now to be a leaker. So you look at that, and you have President Putin very strongly, vehemently says that he had nothing to do with them. Oh, okay, so Putin says that he had nothing to do with it, so let's just go ahead and believe him over our own intelligence organizations. Keep in mind, like, you hear accusations of unpatriotic behavior from the right wing in regard to those on the left over and over again. You don't support every war, you're unpatriotic. You don't do everything that the right wing wants, you're unpatriotic. You have the president of the United States basically talking crap about our own intelligence community and, you know, putting Vladimir Putin on a pedestal. It's insane.
So, look, you can say, hey, didn't those guys work for Obama, the ones that Trump named? Yes, but they also worked for Republicans. So, throughout their entire careers, and I have criticized Clapper and Brennan to no end, because they were part of the warrantless wiretapping. It started under Bush, it continued under Obama. They've messed with our rights over and over again. And we've been consistent in our criticism of what our intelligence community is doing wrong. James Comey is a right winger. James Comey was the number two person at John Ashcroft's Justice Department under George W. Bush. He's a massive right winger. So now he has investigated Republicans and Democrats, which I think is fair to give him credit for. Mm-hmm. And he has stood up to Republicans and Democrats at different times in his career. And you know, I think that there's some reason to give him credit for that. And if you said to me, hey, do you trust everything those three said? I'd say no way. It depends on what are we talking about, warrantless wiretapping or you know, et cetera, right? But if you said to me, do you believe those guys or the guy in Russia who has taken over the government, imprisoned all of his political opponents, murdered some of them, murdered any journalist who dared to expose what he's doing, stripped local democracy away from the Russian government, that's a no-brainer. And so, yes, of course, we care about the particulars of this particular case, but there is no evidence that would lead a reasonable human being to say, no, if Putin says that he is telling the truth, by definition, he must be telling the truth. Whereas our own intelligence guys are all liars on every issue, including this one. That's a preposterous statement. If a Democrat had gone around saying our intelligence agents are all liars, but I love the Russian leader, and since he told me that he's a good guy, I believe him, he would have been tarred and feathered and run out of town, called a communist, a traitor, etc., right? Mm-hmm. He's doing it right in front of our eyes. Again, if you're not a Trump supporter, you get this. This is so super obvious to you. But I'm always amazed by the Trump supporters who think like, no, who needs freedom? Have I ever argued for freedom? No, I'm a Republican. I never argued for freedom. Putin being a guy who suppresses freedom in his own country is awesome. That's great. Why, right. And did I ever say I was for critical thinking? I am not for critical thinking. I will bow my head to Putin and believe whatever he says. I mean, really? Are you really that pathetic?
Well, you know, if you want to talk about the issue of freedom, there is a troubling trend with Trump having this admiration for dictatorial individuals like Putin and Rodrigo Duterte from the Philippines, right? And we're going to get to that story later. But it worries me who he is more likely to be chummy with and who he's more likely to be insanely critical of. So I want to get to the second half of this story because there was a response to Trump and his comments. Following Trump's comments regarding his distrust of US intelligence organizations and his trust of Vladimir Putin over these intelligence organizations, Jim Clapper and John Brennan appeared on Jake Tapper's show and shared their thoughts on this whole debacle. And here's what they had to say. Take a look.
Putin is committed to undermining our system, our democracy, and our whole process. And to try to paint it in any other way is, I think, astounding and in fact poses a peril to this country. Apart from that, something we don't think about too much is the fact that the Russians are embarked on a very aggressive modernization of their strategic nuclear forces to include a very capable and scary counter space program. They only have one adversary in mind when they do this. And oh, by the way, the Russians are in abject violation of the INF Treaty, the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. So the Russians do not harbor good intentions toward the United States. And there shouldn't be any illusions or any ambiguity about that. And our president fosters that ambiguity.
Yeah, but does Trump owe the Russians money, though? Because that's, in my opinion, that is the heart of this controversy. What are Trump's intentions? What are the possible conflicts of interest?
So look, if you, let's just flip to the other side, because this is what I love doing. And as a person who's empathetic, you should think about what if the shoe was on the other foot. So if we had a Democratic leader and he said, well, the Russians are in violation of all these treaties. And by the way, the US Congress has passed sanctions against Russia. And Trump now has gone for about a month and a half and not imposed those sanctions. He's just not doing it. It's unbelievable. It's almost as if he owes the guy something, right?
Right.
He will not go counter to the wishes of his boss, almost under any circumstance. But anyway, if you had a Democrat who came in and the Russians are doing all this, and then the Republican former intelligence guys go, well, look, we're worried about Russian interference. And the Democrat, Obama, Bernie, whoever goes and goes, no, no, I trust Putin. I trust Putin completely. He told me twice, and now I believe him, and I believe him more than our own intelligence guys because he's Putin. I'd be like, whoa, that's really weird.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd say, wait, there's something wrong here.
Right. And I think that the difference in response is interesting here because, you know, if you go back to Obama's administration, we were not kind to Obama. We criticized him where he deserved to be criticized. When that whole NSA leak came out with Edward Snowden, we were highly critical of him. We were highly critical when the Affordable Care Act was being worked out in Congress. I mean, it's just the right thing to do. It's not about party identity. It's about making sure that you criticize your party and your candidate when they're doing wrong. And in this case, Trump is like completely immune to criticism from Republicans.
And for those two guys, Clapper and Brennan that are in that segment, I've criticized over and over. So I don't trust them wholeheartedly. I think that they have been greatly misleading on a number of issues, including warrantless wiretapping. So I'm not a naive guy who goes, oh, well, it's an intelligence guy. He must be telling the truth, right? But to say that you just unilaterally believe Putin over them with no evidence just because Putin wouldn't tell a lie, you might have mental issues.
So let's quickly hear from John Brennan and what he has to say about Trump getting played by Putin.
At one point, President Trump said he thinks Vladimir Putin is insulted by the suggestion and the conclusion by the intelligence agencies that Russia interfered in the US election. What do you make of that, his bringing up that Putin feels insulted?
Well, I think Mr. Putin is very clever in terms of playing to Mr. Trump's interest in being flattered. And also, I think Mr. Trump is, for whatever reason, either intimidated by Mr. Putin, afraid of what he could do or what might come out as a result of these investigations. So it's very worrisome. And I think it sends a worrisome, very disturbing signal to our allies and partners who are concerned about Russian interference in their democratic processes as well. So it's either naivete, ignorance, or fear in terms of what Mr. Trump is doing vis-a-vis the Russians.
No, no, it's over, man. They're gonna get Trump. Putin is his boss. Every interaction, it's the clearest thing I've ever seen. In fact, if a lower level employee did that to his actual boss, it'd be embarrassing. Like if you walk into the room, oh, Mr. Putin, of course you're right, Mr. Putin. And especially a guy who's a bully, who bullies everyone else around. He sees the Russian leader and all of a sudden, he's the biggest cuck you've ever seen. He's like, oh yes, please, Melania, whatever you want, please. Of course you're right about everything, right? What Brennan referred to there is that, hey, is he afraid that Putin is going to reveal something? Yeah, that's the former head of the CIA. Okay, the Russians definitely have kompromat on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what it seems like.
Yeah, there's no way that Trump grovels like that unless Putin has something on him that is devastating. Trump is not a groveler, he's a bully. That's not right. What he does. And so when he grovels, you know, uh-oh, that guy's got something on him. Na, 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 na. All right, it's a little premature, but hold for
it. It's not coming soon enough. Like the slow and steady drip is driving me crazy. So we'll see how this develops.
Get a curtain machine, you'll be fine.
All right.
A good drip.
We got to take another break. When we come back, the handshake story that I'm sure you've all been waiting for.